This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk to fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Sharks, your daily source of everything Team San Jose. We have made it to the end of the off season, the end of whatever this hell year was. Hell 2 years. It's going to be hell for a while. This is gosh darn hell. What's that Simpsons quote? It's like damn hell ass or something like that. I don't know. There's some weird Simpsons quote. Look it up. You guys have Google. But we made it to the end. We did have an interview planned, but it fell through. But we will have that person on hopefully next week, but they will be on soon, and it'll be a fun one. I think everybody will like it. So for now, we are going to answer your questions. And we were all commenting that people actually ask us real questions instead of weird stuff like, do you like the texture of oatmeal in your shoes, which is what we were getting at the beginning when we started this podcast.
Like a year ago.
So thanks to everybody who sent in questions in advance. I am no longer injured. Well, I was pretty injured yesterday at soccer. I got kicked straight in the nuts playing goalie. And then I also hurt my knee. So
I did call it lower body injury. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty. I have one like 0.75 of a knee left between the two. And I've broken my ankle. I'm just so injured. But yeah.
You and Thomas Hurdle.
I got kicked square in the nuts and then hurt my knee right afterwards. So I was not feeling the podcast. So I'm back. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me as always are JD and Eric, the Andrew Cogliano and Nick Bonino to my James Reimer.
Wow, the free agent boys coming in real hot. The olds, all the 33 plus year olds coming in real hot.
Are they all 33 plus?
Yeah.
I guess I'm Cogliano, and yeah, who's the youngest? Yeah. I guess
Cogliano just turned 34, I think.
That's me.
But Bonino's 33 and Reimer's 33.
Here we go.
It feels weird saying that. I just turned 34 and I'm like, these old bastards.
I'm 32. Suck it.
And you're the most injured one here.
I love it. Oh, yeah. I love that the prodigal son, Nick Bonino, has returned to San Jose.
Yeah, they should go back and get I was trying to think of what other draft picks they should. No, former Sharks picks who are now elsewhere. They brought Nieto back. They got Bonino back.
They got
Balsers back.
You know who's available?
Chris Tierney, baby.
Miracle Mueller.
All right. No.
What's Matt Tennyson up to these days?
Lord Matt Tennyson. Is Matt Irwin?
He just signed somebody. Yeah, he just signed with somebody on a two way. I forget.
Matt Irwin did?
Oh, Matt Irwin. No, I don't know. Matt Irwin. But anyway, yeah, Kyle, give us your 30. Irwin. Since you weren't here yesterday, give us your 30 seconds what you thought of the free agency.
It smells like they're playing themselves into the no man's land danger zone where they're not good enough to make the playoffs or do anything, but they're not bad enough to tank.
No, not with Arizona.
Especially in the Pacific. So I don't know. It just stinks a little bit of we're going to try to make the playoffs, but they're not going to. And then they're going to pick 12th instead of third. So congrats to them on all their successes. But hey, who knows? All the signings were very defensive minded. Nobody's adding goals, and I don't think they had a lot of goals. I think they needed some goals.
That's true. I will say they also had horrible finishing and had nice like expected goals and shot generation at least toward the end of the season.
So yeah, Cogliano and Bonino don't add anything to that. Jonathan Dahlin honestly will be the one that adds scoring touch. So.
Yeah.
Hey, they might sneak into third in the Pacific because there's no wild cards coming from the Pacific. Let's just put that out there right now. There's zero. So they might sneak into third and then get the honor of being beheaded by the Vegas Golden Knights in round one or round two. So I don't know. I don't know. Didn't do anything for me. Had worse, had better.
Yeah. I think we all agree that they spent their money wisely and didn't like.
Yeah, they didn't lock any long-term contracts up except for Bonino for 2 years.
Right. The issue is that I think most evidence points to the NHL being like a superstar-driven league, and so they didn't add.
What about the Blues?
I mean, they couldn't. I realize they couldn't do that. Right. Sure. I realize there wasn't the capability of them doing that, but like shoring up the bottom half of a bad roster isn't exactly a recipe for turning things around quickly.
No, I hope they get a little bit better at defense, but still lose. So the big factor here is that if Aiden Hill and James Reimer are actually good,
yeah,
they're gonna win a lot more games than Mr. Flutterpuck himself letting them in from the blue line. Yes. So.
Right.
Let's move on because we have a bunch of questions. Let's get to the mailbag. JD is the only adult in this room, so you have all the questions written down as the old, the resident old. Go.
All right. At Padres 2021 asks, if he was healthy, would you trade Timo and LeBanc and whatever prospect picks you needed for Jack Eichel? Yes. That's my answer. You have a glut of wings ready to come through your system, and Jack Eichel is checksnotes 24. So, yes.
Yeah,
a lot of wings ready to come.
A lot of wings ready to come. I don't want to hear about that anymore, JD.
Is that like Paul McCartney, just Boston?
I do think that we are giving too much weight to the guys they just picked. I'm excited about that draft class, but like there's no certainty that any or all those guys are going to turn into like solid NHL.
Yeah, chances are they get like two.
Right. And so I do think there you start to get like, yes, if Jack Eichel's healthy, you trade for him almost no matter what. But I do think you start to get to a point where, like, look at him on the Sabres. He's not surrounded by anyone. If you get rid of all of your good top six wingers, you can't have like Jack Eichel dragging around Balsers and like Chekovich or whoever ends up making the team.
But they would still have, if you got rid of like Meyer, LeBanc, and some prospects, you would still have Burns, Carlson, Ferraro,
yeah,
Merkley, if he's still there, Hurdle,
Tour.
Like there's way more talent than there was when he was doing it. So
yeah, and if
but one, you don't want to trade everybody. That's the problem.
But yeah, if you assume Gushin you think Eklund, we feel very good about Eklund. If you have Eklund and Eichel for the next 10 years, that's a pretty good start. So yeah. All right, next.
Yeah, I don't know. Buffalo only wanted four assets, so Meyer, LeBanc, a first.
Just give him the old Joe Thornton package and see what they say.
We don't have any.
Every time
Boston won a cup, so
yeah. Every time it becomes news, that's true, that these teams want X, Y, and Z packages. By the time the trade is actually announced,
it's like a quarter of it.
It's like shit. Yeah. So just offer them shit, and eventually they'll take it.
All right. Freehold K, how can Doug Wilson reconcile a Timo trade with that we are a playoff team stance? See last answer.
Literally only if they get a mega super duper star.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. So that he cannot do that unless they get a center who's of equivalent or better value back, or like Jack Eichel.
Jared Football 9, two questions here. Which player in the upcoming season has a chance in your eyes to have a breakout season? We'll go with that one first. Kyle, what does your gut say?
Do you think there is Jared Football 1 through 8?
Probably.
Which shark is most likely to have a breakout season?
Yep.
Well, Jonathan Dolly.
I'm going with my boy Knyazhov, unless you count last year as a breakout season. It seems like
he played more. I think he was okay last year,
but he'd have the like, Ferraro jump.
Yeah.
I think he could very well have a nice jump and suddenly be like, oh wow.
Can I say Timo Meyer?
Yeah. I mean, he was someone
else. This is the 62-point year, right?
We've seen him do it before. So if he figures out how to get back to his 2018-19 self, then that would be considered another breakout year.
I'm going to go with a new shark, Aiden Hill. So I think he's going to have his breakout and be considered a top half of the league goalie. So
wow.
A top half of the league goalie. The bar
through,
is
1 through 16.
Set high.
Yeah.
Are you going to die on this hill? Okay, moving on.
All right. Then he also asked,
I would like to commit seppuku now after making a dad joke.
The dad jokes, yes. Do you think the Sharks will trade one of their bad contracts still somehow, hopefully, ? No, I think Doug Wilson has his guys he's going to go to battle with right now. Unless the season goes off the rails, then he'll then he'll trade one at the deadline. But yeah, I think this is who he's going to ride with.
I could still see an Evander Kane trade.
If those reports are true.
Yeah, if the locker room reports are true, if he starts the season hot again and the locker room reports behind the scenes get worse or hold the same, then I can see Doug Wilson sort of having no choice despite his on-ice impact.
Yeah, the only one I can see is Evander Kane because of the reports. Yeah. They're not going to trade Couture. They're not going to trade Hurdle in the offseason. Well, that's not really a big contract. They're not trading Vlasic. They're not trading Carlson. They're not trading – well, they could trade Brent Burns, but I doubt it. If they're trying to make the playoffs, they're going to need him. So yeah. The only one is Evander Kane. I was about to say that they're not trading Martin Jones, but joke's on me. He's gone.
All right. Where are we at? At 661 Hockey Fan, with the logjam in the bottom six, who's the more expendable for trades?
Did they give any options, or just who? Just anyone?
Anyone.
The world is your urinal, buddy.
Honestly, yes. Any of those guys are expendable, frankly. They're expendable right now.
Yeah.
But like Nieto.
Literally anybody who's not Kane, Couture, LeBanc, Hurdle, Meyer, they're all expendable.
Right.
And
right?
Dully. Like,
well,
he's expendable if they get the right thing back for him. Like he's very exciting given what he did last year, but there's no certainty he's going to translate that to the US and live up to his draft pedigree.
Like I just named off five guys. They don't have a ton of talent. They have about a bunch of the same dudes, but like if somebody comes and offers you a John Leonard trade, that's pretty decent. Just take it. Who cares? There's so many John Leonards you can find. We love John Leonard, but at the end of the day, if somebody's like, here's a second for John Leonard, we need a younger guy to come play on our third line. Just do it because they have Nieto and Cogliano and Bonino and Dahlin and Rudy and Barabanov.
Yeah.
I think Barabanov is the most – if Barabanov gets off to a hot start making $1 million, just ship his ass out.
Yes. Yeah.
I can also see like a guy like Blickfeld, who's one of the older prospects of that group, vying for some of those spots. I don't know what you'd have to package him, or maybe get some other – prospect who needs to change of scenery or something, but he's like my most likely name given that he's had the most chances and hasn't done anything with them.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a bear band.
Right. Okay. It doesn't. Right. No. neither am I. I think, but I think that it would be harder for the coaches to decide he's expendable given how they treated him last year. But I agree that he is also in that list of players.
Yeah, if he gets off to a hot start, and so does Rudy, and so does John Leonard, then you can trade him, and then like I don't know, just all of these guys are the same is the problem. All of the names are interchangeable. Right. I think Rudy and Dahlin might be like a little bit better, but Dahlin could be a lot better. We just don't know. But Rudy is probably a little bit better, but he's what 24 at this point, 25.
Right. So these guys are all peaking this year.
Yep.
Yeah. Who cares?
That actually kind of feeds in our next question. Kind of got answered. Miguel Leinhardt asks, with all the signings and forward depth that we have now, do you see us trading a Bolster/Leonard for a good return? Would you do it?
Here's the thing. If you look at, I tried to do this before because I was thinking about Blickfeld earlier in the offseason. Teams just
normal
trade stuff for, nothing else to do. Teams just don't trade. I mean, the Sharks just did for Lane Peterson. So I should stand corrected to some degree, but that seems like an outlier in that you rarely see players who are U24 get traded for a draft pick. They usually get swapped for another prospect who isn't probably going to make it, and teams want to do a change of scenery thing, or they just sort of get or they get future considerations or whatever. So definitely I would trade them, but you're not going to get anything from them.
Yeah. I mean, like Arizona is gone complete scorched earth trying to get whatever future assets they can get for basically anything that isn't bolted down. And like, the Sharks aren't in that position right now. So.
There's not a lot of spots left. So if you map it out, there's the Kane, Couture, LeBanc, and then Meyer, Hurdle, Rudy, let's say line. After that, you've got Barabanov, Bonino, Cogliano, Nieto, Gambler, Dahlin,
one winger,
Gregor, Blickfeld,
Merkley,
Lane Peterson, Nick Merkley's on this team. Like, yeah, there's so many guys. So if they
training camp's gonna be fun.
If they find a sixth, well, Cogliano, Bonino are for sure on the team.
Yeah.
So they're for sure in there. And I think Darlene probably has an, well, maybe he doesn't, but there's not a lot of spots. And so if one of the one-way guys gets beat out, just trade him.
Trade him. Yep. So, all right.
Is Joel Shellman on this team still?
No, he went back to Sweden.
All right. This one, I'm gonna go with Kyle for this one first. So at Jetpack176 asks, you get to redo any one Sharks draft pick ever to alter the franchise. Which pick are you swapping?
Okay. This could go a bunch of different ways, is the problem.
But so, the one most egregious one, I guess.
Well, it would probably be the first one. If you go to the, hold on here, I'm pulling it up as we did this. 1991 NHL draft. Oh, are you ready to be depressed?
Yeah.
So in 1991, it was the Sharks' first ever selection. Eric Lindros went 1 to the Quebec Nordiques. Pat Falloon went 2 to the San Jose Sharks. Mm. Immediately following Pat Falloon went Scott Niedermeyer at 3, and this is Scott Lachance. Peter Forsberg went at 6. So I'd rather have Scott Niedermeyer than Pat Falloon.
Or Peter Forsberg.
But I don't think he was in the conversation. Scott Niedermeyer was, according to oral histories and stuff like that. Scott Niedermeyer was the other choice. And I just don't know how you get around Scott Niedermeyer and Pat Falloon. I think there's also, give me 1 second here. Do you guys have options, newer options?
Yeah, I have 3 options.
Oh my right. God.
They're more recent.
Like in the, are they like in the 5th round?
No. Hey, they should have drafted Braden Point in 2014.
Yeah.
I have some that are I think reasonable.
Okay, before you start, the other thing I thought San Jose and Hartford in 1993 made a trade. It sent Sergei Makarov a 1st and a 3rd round pick and Toronto's 2nd round pick in 1993 to San Jose in exchange for number 2. So Sergei Makarov and then they picked Victor Kozlov. And then they have some bullshit second rounders. If they would have just stayed at number 2, they could have taken Chris freaking Pronger. God.
That's a good
tough one. That's a tough
God. One. Paul Kariya went 4 in this draft.
Yeah.
Anyway, Scott Niedermeyer is the big one. But go ahead, Eric.
All right. I got a few that are more recent because I think
those, is it Miracle Mueller?
Poor Mirko.
Don't tell the people. So I've got 3 that are more recent because I think while Kyle makes a great point about some of those, I'm picked a few more where the team we knew was already good and they could have potentially even just gone through the stratosphere.
Yeah, mine's super sliding doors because then they probably don't get Marlowe and Thornton and stuff.
Right, yeah, right. And so, yeah, early. Things don't. Yeah, anyway. Right. So the first one, sad to say it, is Mikko Rantanen over Timo Meier. So I think I'm looking just at Hockey Reference point shares, which is, you know, a decent barometer for how good they are. And even Barzal and some of the other guys that went later have at least had a comparable impact to Meier, but Rantanen's is like almost double Meyer's, and he was 1 pick later. So that's a decent. Rantanen's very good. The question there is, you know, he also had to play with Nathan MacKinnon his whole career. And so how much does that come into play? I know Hurdle's a solid center and Couture has been much better, but like they're not MacKinnon. My other one is Kyle called it out. The Sharks picked Mirko Mueller at 18th after they traded up for him at 18th in 2013. And someone by the name of Shea Theodore went to the Anaheim Ducks at 26. Now, of course, there's the expansion draft and yada, 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 but I would hope that the Sharks wouldn't have given away Shea Theodore like the Ducks gave away Shea Theodore. And finally,
yeah, good one.
In 2016, and also this one's tough because, again, sliding doors, and who knows if he would have wanted to sign in California. The Sharks took Dylan Gambrell at 60th. At 66th, the Calgary Flames took Adam Fox.
Oof. All right, I got 2006. The Sharks selected 1 Ty Wishart. Who
that was not the name I was expecting to come out of your mouth.
He played a total of 26 NHL games. at pick number 22, the Claude Giroux. Could you imagine Claude Giroux playing with Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau?
Yeah. It's a little bit better. I think they have a few Stanley Cup winners here.
If you want to double down, in the second round at 36, they took Jamie McGinn because he was Logan Couture's BFF from Ottawa. Oh, yeah. If you look down to number 45, Jeff Petrie went to Edmonton.
Oof. Oh, and they took him in the second round?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Even prime Milan Lucic would have been a better pick. But, I mean, Jeff Petrie right there at 45 is just like, yeah. That one stings. I wonder if this draft is just all sliding doors.
Could you imagine? Yeah, that one. The Claude Giroux playing.
Yeah. So if their next pick was in round four, it was James DeLory at 98. At 99, James Reimer was taken by Toronto.
Well,
ooh, that's funny. That's funny.
That's so good. And then, hold on, I'm still looking for and then in San Jose in the fifth round took Ashton Rome. Yeah, that stops there. I don't care about that.
All right.
But James Reimer going immediately after their fourth round pick is really funny.
Yes,
that's funny.
All right.
That's a good one. Yeah. You know who the man that went right in front of Ty Wisher to Tampa Bay? His name was Riku Helenius.
That's a Helenius pick.
That's incredible.
That's a fun one. We might have to kind of dig into that a little bit more this offseason. Some other ones.
So. We got nothing else to talk about.
All right. From MP Collins 85, basically breaks down who's going to have a better career, Stutzle or Eklund?
Okay. So the conditions on this is that if you want to go really far back, if San Jose didn't re-sign Evander Kane, then they would have given that pick to Ottawa instead of Buffalo, and they would have had Tim Stützle. But if they still re-sign Kane or whatever, basically,
if it was lottery protected or something,
they would have given this one. So they didn't re-sign Kane, they would have got Stützle, and if they would have lottery protected that pick, then they would have got Stützle, and then Ottawa would have got Eklund. But they didn't, so now they have Eklund and Evander Kane.
Anyway, which one would you rather have?
Tim Stützle. We've already seen him play in the NHL.
That's true.
And he was offensively gifted on a bad Ottawa team. And we asked the scouts this year, many of them, where these guys kind of rank compared to last year's draft class. And last year's top big four of Raymond, Stützle, Byfield, and Lafreniere were all better than everybody in this class. So there's also...
Although Eklund was like the one guy sort of potentially in that current. I think he was kind of like a Raymond tier guy. Sure.
Yes. I would still rather have Lucas Raymond. I'm not going to lie to you. Lucas Raymond is nasty. Eklund is fun, and I like Eklund. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but Lucas Raymond and Tim.
Why do you hate Eklund?
Here's Patrick Bacon's model.
We're manifesting the Eklund hate now.
Of guys who haven't, I guess, full-time graduated to the NHL, for whatever reason, Stützle is in here, but Stützle is the first on his list, so 93% chance to become a star. Eklund's down at sixth. 71% chance. Byfield is a little lower. Raymond is still a bit lower, but again, I think that there needs to be some other context included here than just scoring rates in a weird COVID year. But that's at least somewhat of a barometer to start with.
Yeah, Tim Stützle tore it up as a baby in a men's league.
Yes, his underlyings weren't great, but he scored a lot of points, and I'm sure things will improve.
Yep. All right, guys, we want to talk about our friends over at Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including occasional limited time flavors? They have amazing flavors like my personal favorite, cherry. They also have coconut almond, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie. So there's something for everyone. And if you haven't tried them, you can go online and get a mix box. We'll send you 2 of each. That way you can try to find your favorite flavor. Each bar contains 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. They have 9 amazing flavors, all tasty and healthy. So head on over to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. All right, at Carp Doctor with a K, ask who will be the leading scorer for the Sharks by the end of the 21-22 season?
Who wants to say Timo Meier?
You do. I know you do so bad.
No, I don't. I don't want to. This is Eric's corner.
Oh, Timo. He's going to figure it out. I don't know how, why. Another full season in Bob's system, and things are going to start coming together.
How many points do you think he gets?
Give me Hurdle.
How many points do you guys think they get?
How many points in an 82-game season? Timo's going to put up 70.
Hurdle's going to lead the team. I'm going to say it was 75.
Do I just say Brent Burns? Because he always
Brent Burns was 50.
Because he always does. Oh, God.
Put some respect on Evander Kane's
season. I mean, Kane is probably the best answer, given how much he plays.
Yeah, I'll say Evander Kane with, I think, best case scenario, he's 80, 82 points, and then they trade him at his peak value. But he's probably in that, like, I'll say Evander Kane, 75 points. He has, like, 40 goals and 35 assists.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Especially if he keeps the penalties down. Yep. All right. We'll at Garrett Larson 1 asked, do you believe that adding Bonino and Colangelo makes this team a playoff team?
Colangelo? Brian Colangelo?
Cagliano. Sorry. That's going to take a little dumb brain. We are very smooth brain at this point. So do you believe that adding Bonino and Cagliano makes this team a playoff team like the Sharks believe? Or is it just whatever?
No.
Just whatever.
Well, we said it at the top of the hour, yeah, or the top of the episode.
That top of the hour. Wow. Need to, we'll be back with Shannon Sharp at the bottom of the hour.
You need to – well, we started recording around 6. You need stars, and they didn't add a star, which I realized they couldn't have, but, like, shoring up the bottom half of a bad roster.
I think they're going to be good at defense.
Yes. Yeah, I will say that – so I was writing an article about the Aiden Hill trade that I never published, and basically saying that, like, just trading for a goaltender doesn't really change much, even if they get average goaltending for the whole season. If they don't change their rates of shots against, they're still not going to close their goal differential. But if they get average goaltending and can shave off a shot or two against per night at the same time, and maybe the finishing on the other side helps a little bit, like,
there's a path
to, like, at least being a break-even goal scoring team.
Yeah, and especially, like, in the Pacific, which is, I mean, Vegas has already booked their playoff tickets right now. And then, like, Edmonton's probably going to be, they're at least going to be able to score.
They're going to be so bad. Talk about bad defensively, defense.
Yeah,
they're going to give up 5 goals a night.
Yeah, they're going to have to win every game 7-5. And then, like, Calgary's okay. And, like,
Calgary didn't do anything. Calgary's going to be decent. They finished ahead of a lot of teams in the North. Like, I think Calgary's the sneaky one. Sorry, continue.
And then, it's like the Ducks are going to be bad. I don't know what Seattle's doing. The Kings are probably going to be better this year, but, like, are they?
Kings are finishing second in the division. Book it. Ooh. They're down the middle. Is Kopitar, Byfield, Geno? Oh my God.
Yeah. So the Sharks have a chance. I don't know if I'm not, like, holding my breath, but at least they'll be more entertaining this year.
The Pacific is so bad that they were going to have a chance.
No matter what. So.
But I don't think they should have taken that chance. And I don't think that getting Columbia necktied by Vegas or somebody in the playoffs is worth it. That's just not my thing. But I think it goes Vegas, LA 1-2. I think Edmonton 3, but honestly, you could talk me into Calgary. And then Edmonton, Seattle, San Jose, Anaheim, those 4 can interchange. And then Vancouver is just absolutely god awful. And so
I forgot all about Vancouver. Sorry.
They are dreadful. Yes. And then Arizona is
out of the, they're out.
Oh yeah. They're gone.
Yeah.
Although Seattle looks well,
I don't care. They have their power play being a god power play.
Seattle looks good for the models.
I don't see it anyway. All right. We got a couple more here. Let's finish this up. At Andio, however you pronounce that, asks, why wasn't the Vlasic buyout given a second look? Because we would be paying that until the sun explodes upon itself.
I think if you buy him out now, it's like 12 years. It's 12 years because he has 6 years remaining. That's 12 years of a lot of cap hit. No shot you're doing that.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make logical sense. There was zero conversations inside the San Jose Sharks front office about this.
It'd be 10 more years.
Oh, he's only got 5 years left?
No, but I think it depends on your age, depends on how much of it you have to pay. I know there's 5 years remaining. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so it's 10 years.
So it's 10 years. He has three more seasons with signing bonuses due.
Yeah.
Which hurt how much you can save against the cap. And they'd be paying him forever, like JD said. So that is why they didn't
I got it pulled up right here.
Yeah, I'm staring at it too.
Let's buy him. So the cap hit is 1.6, 3.9, 1.6, 4.3, 5.3, 1.8, 1.8, 1.8, 1.8, 1.8. You have 5 straight years of 1.8. That is no shot.
Yeah. All right.
Only 5 years left, though. Nice.
Yeah.
We'll still be doing this podcast. At Bay Area Sports F asks, how hot is Bob Bugner's seat going into the season?
I don't know. It went in many different directions after how hot.
How hot is Bob Bugner?
Is his seat 7 inches from the midday?
He's a nice, like, ruggedly handsome-ish, maybe. Yeah. I don't think it's too hot. I think Doug Wilson's trying to get some continuity going. I hopefully saw the offense sort of start to gel at 5-on-5 toward the end of the season and wants to see what the system can do with some better players. So I'd be surprised, because if Bugner goes, Doug Wilson goes probably.
I don't think it's hot at all, because they signed him to a 3-year. So yep. This will be year 2. If they're not that great, then he either just gets rid of him in the offseason, or he just keeps him around for 1 more year. And then as the team is on the upward trajectory, you get rid of the coach.
And so, get Rocky Thompson.
No, he'll be dominant before then.
But, and he'll get hired. Yeah, I think, especially, and you heard, you know, like Doug Wilson basically say, like, last year was kind of a wash because of all the craziness where you start your, you don't even get to play at home.
Crutch.
Yeah.
Convenient excuse by a team.
Conveniently excuse. I think Doug Wilson want to see some progress this year. If the Sharks are like one of the 3 worst teams, especially when you have the Coyotes and Buffalo who are, going to be really bad. I think it'll be another season for Bob to at least try to show some improvement. So, all right. The at Berserker speed round starts with what type of trade, or basically, would you trade Tarasenko for Evander Kane?
Sure, why not?
I don't know. Tarasenko, that shoulder thing worries me with Tarasenko.
Okay, his contract's only got 2 more years on it.
That's a good point.
That's true. Yeah, take the shorter contract left.
Yeah, for sure. Evander Kane.
I think they're about the same age. Locker room
stuff is bad.
Yeah.
Are they the same age?
It's pretty. I think Tarasenko's 30 and Kane's 29. I think it's pretty close.
They're both listed as 29 and cap friendly.
Vladimir Tarasenko is 30 years old.
Yeah, old buddy.
On. He's born in He's December 13th, 1991. Let's see what Evander Kane is. Evander. Oh my God.
All right. Hockey, so they're about the same
Hockey
age.
DB is such garbage.
Rocky reference, buddy.
I know. I just came up. Evander Kane is August 2nd, 1991. Advantage, Vlad.
The late birthday. Yeah,
Vlad needs to bring along Chekovic and Niazov.
Yeah, get them a Russian mentor.
Yeah, they need a Russian mentor.
You can drink vodka, gamble.
Melnichuk, Niazov.
MMA.
Yeah.
Niazov and Niazov.
Farabanov.
Can you think that would be a straight one for one? I know because their contracts, I think, are both $7 million, you'd right?
Probably have 7.5 for Tarasenko. I think you would have to add a sweetener for the Blues to take on more of Kane's contract, unless they him that
really
much.
They really don't want Vladimir Tarasenko.
Yeah, that relationship has fractured.
Give them a fifth.
I suppose that's true. I suppose that is true.
I'd do it. I mean, I know Evander Kane probably has. What did the fancy stats say?
About Evander Kane?
Tarasenko.
I don't know about Tarasenko. Evander Kane's 5-on-5 play driving has been diminishing that I am concerned.
He also has a modified no-trade clause where he submits a list of 3 teams. Do we think St. Louis is on that 3-team no-trade list? Or 3 teams he can be traded to?
Yeah, they fit his style.
Maybe it's more likely than a lot of the other places we were trying to send him.
Yeah,
yeah, he probably goes back to Vancouver.
But
goes home. I mean, Vancouver.
The Blues.
Tarasenko's fancy blobs are not looking hot either.
Oh, he's pure goals all the time.
Yeah,
Russian swag just dripping off his stick.
Yeah, wow. Although his shooting went way down the last 2 years also.
Because his shoulder,
he had a shoulder injury.
Yes. He had like three shoulder injuries.
They botched them.
Yeah,
I want a botched shoulder injury.
That sounds terrible.
It's my excuse. Sorry, I'm not doing very well. I can't do
fancy blocks.
My shoulder injury was botched.
All right. Is Lane Pettersson the next Johnny Brzezinski?
Probably. No. Who the hell is Lane Pettersson?
No, he's better than Johnny Brzezinski.
Yeah, much younger. So
much better than Johnny Brzezinski means you're still possibly not an NHL player.
That's true.
Johnny Brzezinski was a cromulent AHL guy that every team puts on their AHL team, plays middle six or top line, and you have
depth. And if you're getting crushed by injuries, he comes up and plays on your bottom line there. So
yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. Lane Pettersson is just a human that plays in the NHL to me.
Are we sure? I haven't really seen a picture of
him. That's exactly why. He's 24 years old and nobody knows who Lane Pettersson is. So congrats.
All right.
I love the statement. We've been having our eye on him. We've tried to acquire him for a while. It's like, have you really?
Or
it took a fifth round pick. He couldn't get him.
Been watching this guy or you've been paying attention to better players?
Maybe he's really good friends with Aiden Hill or something. So I know the Sharks have
You know who he played with in juniors his draft year? Alex True.
Mm.
Oh, maybe they're shipping him off to Seattle.
There you go.
I know Alex True Sharks, no longer plays for the Sharks.
Yeah. Well, it seems true. Like
RIP.
Yeah.
Lane Pettersson wasn't drafted.
Feel the excitement.
I know. Getting all these Coyotes prospects a little worrisome. Anyway,
I love that everything was done for the day in free agency. And then I know Shang has said there's maybe something else because you have cap space.
Yeah.
And other people had said, like, oh, watch out. And then it was like an hour later. Lane Pettersson has been acquired by San Jose.
Oh, we missed the question. Oops, that reminds me.
We missed the question. We didn't.
I did. Before we finished up with the at Trivial Per Shot asks, which player should the Sharks add either in free agency or possibly by trade, given the cap space they have left?
So they have
not much.
$5.5 million.
But that doesn't include.
No, but they haven't signed Hill and they haven't
signed Gregor.
Gregor's million-dollar contract. So they have about 1.5 or something.
I would say about 1.5 is probably a fair estimate.
Yeah, so they shouldn't sign anyone because they'd be hosed.
Yeah, they're pretty tapped out right now. And it gives you some flexibility in the season. So.
Let's see the free agents that are available. Are you guys ready for this list?
You guys are gonna laugh at me, but one. Oh yeah, if they really wanted to go full defensive shutdown in the bottom half, they could sign Cizikas to a vet minimum or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're pretty much tapped out. So, and Kyle's Mike, RIP.
They could try Andrés Kossé.
Yeah.
And hope that he stays and give him a vet min and hope that he stays healthy and turns into a top sixer.
Yeah. There's the free agency right now. It's pretty picked over. I don't know if there's anybody really worth. I mean,
yeah, here I got the list. Are you ready for this?
Give it to me.
Zach Parise, David Krejci, Derek Stepan, David Backes, who's retiring, Brandon Smoka Dubinsky, James Neal, Travis Zajac. Tomas Tatar will be super fun, but he's going to want like $5 million. But maybe you just wait out the market and trade somebody. Doesn't matter. Sam Reinhart got re-signed. Tyler Bozak, Kyle Palmieri, Artem Anisimov. You want me to keep going? Marcus Johansson.
No, I think we're good. There's no.
Yeah. Casey Cizikas is on the market. Yeah.
He's good defensively, at least.
They already got two of them.
That's true. They should sign Kaprizov.
Yeah, offer sheet Kirill Kaprizov with no.
Yeah, I don't know how they'd pay him, but they should do that.
They should offer sheet Pettersson or Quinn Hughes.
Or Quinn Hughes, right? Again, I don't know how they would pay them. But
somebody Jim Benning said they came out and said that they will automatically match any offer sheet for Elias Pettersson. Somebody should offer him like $13 million a year.
The Red Wings should
really call his bluff.
The
Red Wings have the money and the space. They could easily do it. But
it's true.
Yep. All right. Last one. Back to the Berserker Speed Round Memorial. Don't you hate pants?
Yeah, I'm sitting. I did this podcast in boxers. They're actually Christmas boxers. So there's little Japanese robots, kind of like The Simpsons when Homer thinks Bart's gay. That episode. So and he's wrapped in lights, and then there's a candy cane, but they're all over and it's green.
I try to put the Christmas boxers at the bottom of the drawer so they don't come out in the middle of summer.
Who cares?
But that's just me.
Yeah, no, I hate pants. Shorts all the way.
Yeah, shorts.
Or nothing, or nothing at all.
When I worked back in the day, when I worked at Blockbuster, our store like was an hour away from the closest store, and we were like 2 hours away from the district manager. So he would only come up like once every like 6 weeks or something like that to visit us. So it was literally shorts and a polo shirt every day at work. It was great.
I like it. I like it. The Sharks should offer sheet Kyle Yamamoto.
We've already passed. We're talking about pants.
Sorry. I just was running down the list, and the bumbling Edmonton boys have no money. So they should do that. Pants are not good.
My favorite.
Have you checked the fancy stats on pants?
Yeah. The length per 60 is far too big.
My favorite look for myself. Hat or no hat, depending on the thing, but always backwards. And then a Lulu hoodie, usually black, like the plain Lulu hoodie. Maybe I also have a mint one. It's great. But like a Lulu hoodie, then some sort of colored short to match with that. And then Stan Smith's or some stylish Nikes. That's my favorite look. Mm. So no pants.
Yeah. Shorts, t-shirt. Yeah. Flip-flops.
Yeah. So if you have any pants theories that you would like to get at us, please DM us at Locked On Sharks on Twitter. We will see it. We will answer it probably, or we'll just ignore it. But either way, we will know how you feel.
We'll give you a little heart.
Leg homes, if you want to be specific.
Leg homes. I've never heard that word before in my life.
That's two words, actually. So
yeah, phrase. Whatever.
Is it hyphenated?
No, just take us out of here. I'm done.
I am. I'm trying to, but you had to chime in with your smooth brainness. If you would like to talk about pants with us away from Eric, you can do that on the other socials, Instagram, Facebook, Locked On Sharks. JD will see it. He's putting up all the work there. You can email us if you have pro pants theories or pro pants talk. You can do that at lockedonsharks@gmail.com. We are going down to 3 episodes a week, so we will not be in your ear holes constantly. Yeah, we need a break, and that's how it rolls. So we'll be doing a lot of lighter stuff in the summer. If any breaking news happens, we will cover it probably. Who's to say? Who among us could say if we're going to cover those news? That news. I got to get out of here. JD's at my fry hole. Eric's at Foulball 15. I'm at Kyle Demetrius. I'm not going to let them talk. I'm angry at them for the pants talk.
I don't even want to talk anymore.
Yeah, get out of here.
I'm done talking.
Go have a child. You too. You can't.
I can't anymore.
Go shoot blanks somewhere. Bye, everybody.
Betting on sports doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.